Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now, and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get a win. They get a win tonight. That's two straight, and all of a sudden you're right in the thick of the playoff hunt. You lose, it's probably curtain, so.
Yeah, well, yeah. I like what the Rams are doing right now. I'm worried about the 49ers. I think the 49ers are slowly bleeding out, Nick, here.
So it's interesting. I think the 49ers are just where the Browns are with like a better quarterback option.
Aged,
and more continuity.
Aged. You think they're where the Browns are?
I'm talking about in terms of the rest of the roster. Like, I think Shanahan is a better coach than Stefanski.
Yeah.
I think Brock Purdy has been, you've got consistent, healthy, he's not healthy this year, but consistency at the quarterback position for the last several years. And I think that has elevated them. But I think if you look from, I think the problem is the same with the rest of the roster. I think it's Nick Bosa and a bunch of dudes who are probably not as good as Nick Bosa or anywhere close. Even Fred Warner's gotten a little bit older. In your case, your Fred Warner is hurt in JOK. Who knows if he'll play again?
I think the Ayuk and CMC injuries were a lot for him.
Yeah, I think you can say the same thing for the Browns. Like, if the Browns were healthy, they were healthier this season, I don't think you're 3-10. You might be a 5-win team right now with the way things went, but I don't think you're 3 wins. Like, to me, getting back to the idea of perplexing, it is the perfect storm of crap that has led you to 3-10.
Yeah.
And when you get here with injuries and the issues at quarterback and the issues in the O-line, the issues on the defense, what you're supposed to be able to fall back on is that thing that Ross Tucker tried to tease us about 2 weeks ago, which is culture, which is the thing that you sustain.
Well, and that's what's interesting with the Rams. So the Rams had a really banged-up offensive line. When you looked at the offensive line numbers, the only team that was consistently worse than the Browns for the majority of the season was the Rams. A couple weeks ago, they got back to full strength, though, and they got healthy, and they, like, dead cat bounced. And all of a sudden, Matthew Stafford is having this past few weeks. He's been incredible. I'm sure you watched the back and forth against the Bills. That game was unreal. And so, like, there are teams out there that are able to do that, and I think the Rams are evident of that. But the 49ers and the Browns are two teams that just didn't.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I think this is where This is where I think, like, I think the other part of what we've talked about with both the 49ers and Browns is I think they got old. I think your core has gotten old, and I don't think either team has drafted nearly well enough to replenish the talent that you need. The Browns at least have the excuse of you have, what, two top 70 picks in the last 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a viable thing of, like, hey, why don't you have enough talent to kind of replenish? Now, in fairness, the rest of the drafts aren't that great either, but, like, with San Francisco, they just haven't drafted well enough. They just haven't found, like, and they've had plenty of stabs to get it right, and they just haven't. But I will say, like, with the Browns and the conversation we've had, is this a full rebuild? Like, who are your core guys right now? Like, definitively. Like, who are the guys you know are going to be your best players next year?
So, Myles Garrett obviously goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And actually, I saw a stat earlier today about the pressure rate of the Browns without Myles Garrett. Unsurprisingly.
Was it not great?
It's not great. They're like 28th in the league or something since week 11 when Myles Garrett is not on the field. Myles Garrett's part of the core. Denzel Ward's part of the core. I now have Jerry Jeudy in as part of the core, by the way.
I'd agree, by the way. Yeah, David Njoku's like part
cheap,
of the core.
Friendly contract. They're just not getting rid of that. The Njoku thing is interesting because although I think he's part of the core, I could see where Njoku is one of the few players that would turn around and say, "You're wasting my time here."
All right,
I could see him getting disgruntled at the idea that, like, "Hey, I've given you enough time. We've done this song and dance. I want to win, and you guys are taking forever." It just feels like there's something there, especially with tight ends too. Tight end, it's not talked about enough because Travis Kelce at 35 is awesome, but a lot of tight ends post 30 do not have the same type of career that Travis Kelce had.
My word to David Njoku, because I could see it. I agree with you. My word to David is, if you want to get out of a place, you have to have a good enough season to substantiate that.
For sure. So what are we at? Four here? JOK is part of the core as well.
Yep. But I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to play again.
Well, okay, that's fair.
So
that's fair. They don't tell us anything, so how am I supposed to advocate that he
will? What about and every time they talk about it, it's cryptic. It's like The Undertaker. Like, oh, ooh. Like, who knows? We just want him to get healthy. I know.
It was like Casper. Okay, so
Wyatt Teller.
So he was the only one in the line I was thinking about. Okay. I was going to say the whole line is not on that list of the core. What is
consider Joel Bitonio? I don't think I would be surprised if Joel played next year. That's why
I don't think you can consider him part of the core. I think this is going to start to go. It's already started to go downhill. I think it's going to only be at a rapid rate there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't rely on him beyond next year. I would imagine.
So Teller is part of the core. That's five.
I think we're at six now. Oh no, you didn't give me JOK.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tomlinson, no. Okay, no. Hicks, no. Delpit?
No.
Emerson?
No.
Nah, not Newsom.
Sorry, I said no like it was my Charlotte says
like
no
very,
like that.
Like, didn't know.
She does no. She's two, though, so it's okay.
So I just want to point out the commonality of four of the five guys in your core are 30 years or older or in that 30-year realm.
Well, I mean, that's why we talk about the offensive line that way.
That's the age concern.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. It is the exact problem that the 49ers are having. There's no debating that, except their quarterback. They thought they had a franchise quarterback. They thought he was obviously he's young, but they thought that they had a franchise quarterback, and now they have to decide, do we pay Brock Purdy or do we not pay Brock Purdy?
Well, but that's why, to bring it back to the Browns, that's why I think it's impossible to say that this is a quick rebuild for the Cleveland Browns. And again, we're parsing words. Jimmy Haslam could have a different version of rebuild. I think it's the most general term in the world because rebuild encompasses everything from teardown to, like, you're going to paint the shutters in your house. You know what I mean? Like, I look at this and I go, when your core is older, and I don't trust MJ Emerson, I don't trust Grant Delpit, I don't trust, Isaiah McGuire's playing better. Is he a starting edge rusher going forward?
Because we're talking about core pieces.
Yeah.
And so he's not a core piece.
When four of the five core pieces that you have are approaching the second life of NFL, of the NFL game, it's tough to just be like, because why is Denver good? Guys, Garrett Bowles has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their core guys. What happened is they drafted well enough over 2 years with Sean Payton and George Patton. George Payton.
It's Payton. It looks like Patton, but it's Payton.
But George Payton, that they actually replenished some of the young talent. The Rams. Kobe Turner in the third round. Puka Nacua in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. And again, they didn't have a first round. It didn't matter to them. But like that, those are teams that not a lot has changed for them, except they've just drafted well enough. I mean, the Rams lost Aaron Donald to retirement, and they're probably going to be a playoff team this year. And they are right. They, you can make an argument. They're a better team now than they were last year.
And they did this with the worst offensive line in the sport for the first 10 weeks of the season.
Let's go with Thomas in Shaker. Thomas, welcome to the show, buddy. Do the Browns have to have a full rebuild?
Nick, first of all, I want to say you've been cooking. But I don't think the Browns need a full rebuild, but yet a half rebuild.
What's a half rebuild?
I really just want to say that. But what I really want to say is I think that I think a full rebuild will be firing everybody, clean slate, and trade in everything. That's a full rebuild.
I think that's tanking.
Well, no, that's tearing down to the studs and rebuilding from the beginning.
I still haven't figured out the difference between tanking and a full rebuild yet. I'm very lost as the difference there, Thomas. I've not been able to pinpoint
that
yet.
I think, to me, a full rebuild, so a tanking is you're literally trying to lose over successive years, and you're doing things like you're cutting like Jordan Poyer to save $1 million in 2016 and watching the guy go become an all-pro safety elsewhere, where if he was here, you should have just bit the bullet, taken it. So those are the kind of things that are tanking. A full rebuild is, it's going to be within 3 years, or 2 years, before you're fully back to being not just a playoff team, but maybe something more.
Yeah, they sound very similar to me.
Honestly. But what I want to say is I think what the Browns should do is they should trade away older players. So I think that they should make some bold decisions. Even kind of take emotions away from equations. If you think that a player might be getting up there in age and we're paying them a lot of money and we could trade them for more draft picks, like you said, one thing that we struggle with is having high draft picks. But what if we trade some players away to get a higher draft pick or to move it up in draft to replenish our cornerback position or our linebacker position or to find the next great thing? You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind trading Denzel Ward for something.
Yeah, but that starts to get towards tanking. If you're trading the few core players that you do have.
If it gives you more picks and more ability to move up through the draft.
I think you started this saying a half rebuild, and all of a sudden I think you're talking tanking there.
Honestly, I'll kind of am. Like, what other option do we have?
You take the next 2 years and draft well.
What we're going to do? Like, we're going to be mediocre? We might as well just redo the whole thing. Honestly, we might have to.
But the Saints, in between their Super Bowl run and then the back half of Breeze's career, and thank you, Thomas, we appreciate you. I want to ask him if Santa was an elf. Damn it.
Thomas has some weird theories on life, so you might
have... He kind of took us for a journey there on what kind of rebuild the Browns wanted there. But the Saints had three straight 7-9 seasons and came out the other side with winning. Now, they had the quarterback, but that was a team that was basically propped up by head coach and a quarterback, and it took them a while to get back. So I just think, I think when you start to say, in a new quarterback, you need at least one starting defensive lineman, if not two, at least one starting offensive lineman, if not two, and a safety, and maybe a corner, and a running back, for instance, I think it was Mike Mayock that was like, hey, if they like one of these quarterbacks, they should trade up to get him. Okay, the problem is...
You find one you like.
And yeah. And by the way, that's usually, if you really think that much of the quarterback, you should go after that quarterback. You never be wrong if you hit on the quarterback, even no matter what assets you give up, right?
Right.
Here's a problem. Then the rest of the team is going to suffer, and it's going to take you a little longer to get the system around or the pieces around that quarterback to elevate that quarterback to be where they need to be. So there's just a catch-22 here. That's seven spots, and you shouldn't go into free agency this year.
Yeah, but you feel a lot better if you're the Patriots right now, and even though your team around Drake May stinks, having Drake May, it means a lot because you know you can build in the right direction then.
Yes, but they at least got Drake May. Now this next offseason is about – so that's two off-seasons.
Right. And no, I'm playing with you here, but that's the point, though, is that – well, hello.
The point is that
once you land that guy, then you know it's not you're not just in an endless route to nothing. Like you're building towards something, and it's going to actually end up with wins, playoff wins.
Nelson, Chris, Josh, I want you guys to all stick here because I'm reading the comments here, and I think we're going to be building on this conversation, especially Chris brings up a great point about Andrew Berry. But 216-474-0092, how much of a rebuild are we looking at with the Cleveland Browns? Jimmy Haslam says, not very much, but it does.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Let's get back to the chicken and the egg issue with the Cleveland Browns. We get to that next on 92.3 The Fan. We're having the conversation about how much of a rebuild the Browns are going to go through because Jimmy Haslam at the NFL owners meeting said he doesn't think it's a total rebuild. And this might just be a semantics argument here. And there might be something lost in translation. Want to point that out. But here would be my ultimate word of caution. Because I think sometimes, like, I think fans and media, I'm a Stefanski guy. I'm a Barry guy. I'm a Barry and Stefanski guy. I'm a neither guy. I'm a Browns fan. So quite frankly, all of it's negotiable to me.
Yeah.
Dee Podesta's negotiable. Who's the head coach? Who's the GM? To me, it's about what have you done and can you justify keeping your job? And every year, we're going to reset that conversation. Now, here's what I'm going to say. If Jimmy Haslam, because this is your time. This really is. If you have doubts about Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry's ability to lead a rebuild, and to get you back to where you were when they took over.
Which right now it sounds like he doesn't, by the way.
Yeah, which is okay. If you don't, that's fine. But a year from now, you better remember that you didn't have a doubt now. Because the worst thing you can do when you start a rebuild, whether it's a one-year job, two-year job, three-year job, the worst thing you can do is get 1 year in and go, actually, I don't trust these guys anymore. We've got to bail. Because you will have maybe committed to a quarterback after that 1 year, because you might have committed to.
Well, but I mean, if they show themselves not committed for the job or not the right piece for the job, he holds the right to change his mind.
Yeah, no, you either know now or you don't.
Well, so this is why I've cautioned people before, and I think people miss this in the larger Stefanski conversation, is that when you give people an opportunity to draft the quarterback and then try to develop the quarterback, if you end up doing what they're doing in Chicago with Eberflus. Guess what? Now Caleb Williams is going to have his third offensive coordinator and second head coach in 2 years. That's hard.
Yeah, so I think
that's why it's not just a one-year commitment with Stefanski.
Yes,
that's why it's a multiple-year thing.
And listen, again, right now, I could build you a case to fire Kevin. I could build you a case to keep him. But this is not a one-year thing. We should not. And if Jimmy Haslam thinks, I'll give him a year and see where it goes.
But
if that involves drafting a quarterback, you will be putting yourself behind the eight ball long-term.
I think that convo is different, though, for head coach than it is for GM. I think for head coach, I think what we're saying is 100% true. If you have Stefanski to be able to be the guy to select the quarterback, then that's going to be a couple years. That's going to be until you know that quarterback is either great and then awesome it worked out, or he stinks, and then you got to completely go ahead and redo this thing. The GM, I look at it a little bit differently.
Yeah, so can you walk me through that? Because with the GM,
yeah.
I actually think Barry is more fireable than Kevin Stefanski right now today.
Okay, so we're in agreement then.
But here's the problem. You get a new GM in, it's a tale old as time.
None of it's ideal. Listen, there's no way to spin it into being like, awesome, we had to fire the GM. But if the GM just cannot make draft picks, I don't want that guy as my GM.
Yeah, the problem is you're going to hire a new GM a year from now. We will have spent 12 months convincing Jimmy Haslam there's a better head coach out there.
Well, if Stefanski's actually doing his job, though, then it won't matter. If he's doing his job and having success with the quarterback, none of that will matter.
Yeah, but success with the quarterback doesn't mean you're going to have a successful team next year.
I think it'll play itself out pretty easily. If he's able to have success with the quarterback, Stefanski can have the job. And if you just don't have enough pieces around him because Barry can't deal with the most money in the NFL while also having draft picks, well, that's a Barry problem, and the new GM will be more than happy to be like, Stefanski's good at this.
Yeah, again, I think there's just a lot of dynamics and a lot of egos and a lot of minutiae at play that I think if you're hiring a new GM this offseason, you might as well hire a new head coach. You might as well hire the GM and say, because then it becomes Dorsey, I didn't hire Hugh Jackson, so now I'm going to fire him. Like a lot, and I'm not saying this happens every time, yeah, so I'm painting kind of a broad brush here. But more often than not, you hire a head coach that didn't hire, or if you hire a GM that didn't hire the head coach.
Right, but that wasn't the conversation we were having, though. The conversation we were having is what happens with Stefanski if you let Stefanski go through with the quarterback pick and being the head coach.
I think it's the same thing. I think if Stefanski and Barry are both back this next year, they're together for at least the next 2 years while you try and rebuild this thing.
I think that's foolish if you look at him as tied to the hip.
I think you have to. A lot because of the alignment and because right now
can't draft, then I'm not going to send him out there for another draft.
I don't think they think he can draft.
I think the problem in the conversation is that they've put voice to Stefanski and Breer has put voice to Stefanski and Breer. I think the problem is that a lot of us think way higher of Stefanski than we do Barry, excuse me.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Chris in Chicago. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for me?
Gentlemen, great show as always.
Stop. Keep going.
That's it. That's all I call to say. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, it's Santa now.
Santa is no, he's not an elf. Come on.
You're from Chicago. What do you know?
No. No, I'm from Richfield, but I live in Chicago. Anyway. All right, so I think the biggest indictment on Andrew Barry's tenure as the GM, you guys were just talking about those core players, right? What is one of those five or six core players, thanks to Barry? I mean, and he's been there for a while, and that's not good. Whether it's drafts or even some of the trades he's made haven't been the greatest. So I think Barry can go. And here's my question. I think I know the answer already, but my dream situation would be to have Kevin Stefanski as my OC and have Vrabel as the head coach. I don't think that'll ever happen, but I think Stefanski's a better coordinator than coach.
Yeah, Chris, you might be right about that, but you're right in the idea it's never going to happen as well.
I appreciate you there, Chris. Good stuff, buddy.
It would be a step back. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much.
Vance Joseph is now the defensive coordinator in Denver, but there was obviously some coaching changes in between that. It's an odd setup, though. You can admit it's an odd setup.
Yeah, no, it is. Man, it's an all-in. I think, because here's the thing, I hate the total clean house because it's just so much work and it's hard enough to get one of those spots. But I think I've zeroed in on, I don't see the point in firing Andrew Barry unless you let Kevin Stefanski have the power to name the new GM. And it's like the Andy Reid situation where Brett Veach really just does the bidding of Andy Reid.
Yeah, but it didn't start. It got there, but when Andy Reid was hired, that was Andy Reid and John Dorsey at the same time.
Yes.
Like they had to go through a whole everything to get there.
So while we're on this discussion, we're not on this discussion at all, but while we are on the topic of the Browns, I'll be talking about the Browns and the Chiefs tomorrow with Andrew Filippone.
Yeah.
This is not where then I just start to insinuate like a phony feud that actually doesn't happen. That's somebody else's show. But I'll be on the FanDuel Network tomorrow, and something happened today. I just want to know, it's kind of an am I the you-know-what situation, because Pony texted me at 9:04 this morning. In fairness, I didn't see it till about 10:40 today.
What's your guys' text relationship like already? Do you guys actually text, or is this like only when he wants you on the show?
Yeah, pretty much only when he wants on the show.
Okay, because really, it does matter, by the way.
I'm not really buddy-buddy with anybody other than like you and maybe like three other people in radio.
Okay, because it does matter, you know? Yeah. Like if it's somebody you had a lot of conversations with, then I think it's like, all right, you got to get back to him as soon as you can.
See, now I feel like there's a gray area. Like I've called him for advice previously, not recently, but like when we went to Charlotte, I kind of picked his brain.
So he's done you solids before.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like when he's asked for me, it's like once every 4 years, but if he's texted me, I've said something back. But so he texted me at 9:04 this morning asking.
Yeah.
I had not responded by 1:15.
Okay.
And so he texted Keith to ask me if I could go on the thing, and I kind of got annoyed. I still said yes because Pony's a good enough dude, and I enjoy going on with him.
Kind of, it's kind of flattering that he would even go to Keith and ask.
Yeah, well,
because he really wanted you to be on then. Because if no one answered me after 4 hours, I'm just moved on to the next person.
So you know what's wild about that is Pony always puts it this way, which is like the least flattering way. He says, "FanDuel wants me to have you back to preview."
So it's not like it's not his choice.
Yeah. There's an inference there.
That is kind of rude.
I mean, it's kind of Pony. Pony's kind of this very specific language kind of fella. But I was a little annoyed. Like, here's the thing. I totally could have responded at any point, like a 3-hour window.
Yeah, you're not good at text responding to a lot of people, though. Not me. You're good with me, but not to a lot of people.
Most people. The fact that you get quick text response is like a really good sign for you.
Well, thanks. Yeah. glad to hear it.
I must really value you.
Yeah, glad to hear
because
it.
Because even family members will get like a day later. They'll be like,
You famously didn't answer a Bernie Kosar text.
Well, that was nerves. That and Joe Thomas. I couldn't believe Bernie or Joe were texting me directly, and I overthought it. But like for most people, yeah, I'll respond when I respond. I'll think about it for a while. I like thinking about things before I respond. I don't like to just automatically willy-nilly respond. That's not what was going on with Pony.
Do you want to know why Pony never asked me to go on his shows anymore?
Why's that?
So last time he had me on, and this was on his 93.7, right? He had me on his show, and then he just ripped Ken for like 3 minutes, and then like was baiting me into trying to rip Ken as well. Like, he even did the whole like, we'll go out to 92.3 The Fan. Peter was one of the smart people on the station, unlike that morning slob, Ken Carmen. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to... Like, I didn't play along at all. I act as if he didn't say anything.
Oh, if he
and
does
I think
that.
I think he wanted me to play along, but it's like, ooh, I made a business decision in that moment. You think I'm going to rip Ken in that moment?
No, let me ask
not going
to
happen.
Did you think it was like something he was going to turn around and then send to Ken? Was that a trust issue?
100% okay. He would have done that. Because
I would
have easily got back to Ken.
I would just do it.
You're going to... I bet he's going to bait you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know you would do it.
Not on the FanDuel Sports Network.
Well, I've thought about it before. Should I just play it along and been like, yeah, that Ken Carmen. Who wins that?
I wouldn't say it like that. I would say you'd believe it. You'd be like, oh, that Ken Carmen. That's a very playful way. I'd just say, I just
didn't want to. No. It feels dirty. It's like if me and you do it, it's fair game because Ken could be listening. It felt a little behind his back almost. It just didn't feel right.
I think anybody who takes anything said on the radio that seriously, and I don't think Ken would. Ken's Mr. You know, he's the voice of Cleveland sports. Now, getting back to the Pony thing, was he being impatient or did I just take too long to respond?
You took too long. He's in the right to go to Keith then in that instance.
Here's the thing. The more I've thought about it, he's right. Because I've forgotten. Like, I used to have to book my show in Charlotte after they let go of my
producer.
Yeah,
you're trying to book everything. You need answers.
And I'm not thinking about it that way. I'm just thinking about like, it's a yes, but I'll respond when I respond. The more I thought about it, I was like, man, 4 hours is an incredibly long time when the call's tomorrow morning.
Well, he also knows that in 2024, no one's away from their phone for 4 hours.
Yeah, and
you saw the text.
Yeah, it's also prepping for a show. You know another radio host is not away from your phone that long.
Right, like he knows
even
you
more
saw
so.
It. He knows you saw it.
216-474-0092. So, Andrew Filippone asked me this morning to get me on his FanDuel show tomorrow at 9:04 in the morning. Sorry. He texted me at 9:04 this morning about tomorrow morning, and I had not responded to him by 1:15 this afternoon, so he texted Keith to ask me, was he being impatient or was I taking too long to respond? In case we missed it, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.